Welcome to Second Nature. My name is May, and I will be your host for today. In our episode today, we will be exploring the newly founded Center of Humanities at George Mason University. Its launch was in fall 2020, though the planning for the center goes back years with a diverse group of researchers represented in its planning committee. In this episode, we will be exploring the center and its goals more in detail from the very people who created and run this transdisciplinary research center for George Mason University. We will hear about the center from these people directly, as well as provide resources as to how to get involved with the center, whether you're Mason affiliated or not. To introduce the planning committee and the voices you'll be hearing from today, they are current director of the center, Allison Landsberg from Cultural Studies and History, Denise Albanese from Cultural Studies, Maria DeCape from Religious Studies, Rachel Jones from Philosophy, Matthew Karish from History, Art History, Rachel Lewis from Women and Gender Studies, Christina Olson from Modern and Classical Languages, and Deborah Latanzi-Shurtika from English. Mason is the eighth largest recipient of funding from the National Endowment of Humanities and is one of the top universities for humanities research. The center's goal is to build on the history of landmark humanities research at the university and provide a space for faculty and students alike to share and collaborate on their work. The center wants to make this research more widely available and accessible to people within the College of Humanities, within the university, and beyond its borders. Before we dig in deeper as to what these goals mean, here is some information about its inception from Matt Karish.
Back in the fall of 2017, the university published a draft of its new strategic plan, along with a request for feedback. Seeing that request, I responded. I sent in feedback to the effect that faculty in the humanities found the strategic plan draft demoralizing, particularly because its discussion of research ignored our contributions. The draft communicated a sense that research was something that happened outside of the humanities, and the language of the strategic plan draft seemed to confirm a larger sense common to many of us that the university did not adequately value and support humanities research. Much to my surprise, in response to my posted feedback, Deb Crawford, the Vice President for Research, reached out to me and suggested putting together a group of faculty from across the humanities at Mason to discuss how we could rectify this problem. How could we get more university support for humanities research? And also, how could we make our contributions more visible and legible, understandable to the larger community at Mason and beyond? I took that invitation seriously. With the help of chairs and directors, I recruited a faculty planning committee. Over the last 2.5 years, that committee, chaired expertly by Maria DeCake, has met to discuss these problems and to design a solution. At every step, and again, much to my surprise, I should say, at every step, our work has been met with impressive enthusiasm, support, and guidance from the administration, both of the college, but also of the university. We've had, as has already been said, the support and expert advice of Dean Artis, but also of Deb Crawford and of the provost's office more generally. What emerged early on in these discussions in the planning group was the idea for a center for humanities research. It was the vice president, Deb Crawford, who suggested that this was a significant enough idea that it could be one of the transdisciplinary centers that receives funding from the provost's office. And then on top of that, the college generously offered to complement that support with its own significant funding. Thanks to all of this support, we are able to launch the center today. It's a center that builds on the tremendous strengths of the humanities at Mason.
Professor DeCake expanded on this conception with what inspired the plans for the center as they proceeded.
Our plans were inspired by a broad vision for the humanities and their significance and their potential to contribute in a more interactive and, as Matt said, a more visible way to the intellectual life of the Mason community as a whole. The Center for Humanities Research was and is committed to the idea of the humanities as naturally engaged scholarship, whose research areas and methods of inquiry can make essential contributions to research done across the university in a wide variety of disciplines. We wanted to create a center that would be a resource for humanities faculty as well as for faculty across campus who feel that their research would benefit from engagement with the humanities. The center also understands the humanities as a public good, with a critical role to play in addressing our most pressing social, political, and ethical issues, from the ethics of science and technology to the persistence of inequalities rooted in class, race, and gender. As a set of essential disciplines and the humanities grapples with complex issues, encourages informed dialogue, facilitates cross-cultural and intergenerational understanding, promotes inclusive public discourse, and feeds the public imagination. We intend the center to be a place where those involved in humanities-related research will be able to critically engage on a regular basis with scholarly fields of inquiry beyond their home disciplines and even beyond the walls of academia itself. We hope that the center will be a place where the humanities are not only part of the conversation around various core issues, but the center of the conversation, providing a space, intellectual and physical, where humanities concerns and approaches are foregrounded.
Professor Jones continued with the expansion of the goals of the center.
The center will act as an incubator for humanities research and a space for scholarly exchange. In planning its activities, our aim was to enrich the environment and strengthen the conditions for humanities research at Mason, both by providing practical support and by cultivating a vibrant intellectual community. One of the center's aspirations is to facilitate a change in campus culture, while recognizing that many humanities faculty conduct their research off campus and that many of our most important research relationships are with colleagues at other institutions and indeed around the world. Our aim is for the center to be a hub of humanities activity, conversation, collaboration, and creativity. In the near future, these activities will be hosted in a virtual environment, but as we go forward, we'll transition to making the most of the center's new dedicated space on the sixth floor of Horizon Hall, where many humanities faculty will be based. This space will serve not only as the campus home for the center, but as a place where faculty and student working groups can meet and where more spontaneous conversations can arise. The center's faculty fellowship program will support faculty research excellence by offering course release so as to allow dedicated time for the pursuit of scholarly projects. At the same time, humanities research thrives best when scholars are able to engage in intellectual discussion and to share lines of critical inquiry with others in the humanities, as well as across academic disciplines and areas. The center will organize both large and small scale events to foster the connections that allow humanities research to flourish and to be shared across a variety of communities. We are therefore committed to the model of the residential fellowship that gives faculty time to pursue their individual research projects while asking them to be present and to participate in the center's activities, providing them with a dynamic intellectual environment that will facilitate the exchange of ideas and allow research synergies to emerge. Despite the impressive success of Mason's humanities faculty in obtaining external research funding, the relatively limited and highly competitive nature of such funding means that only a small percentage of humanities research is currently supported through external grants and awards at Mason. The center will provide support for individual and collaborative grant applications, as well as seeding the communities for larger transdisciplinary funding projects. In addition to energizing faculty research, the center will facilitate interaction between faculty and students so as to foster the next generation of humanities scholars. The center will provide support for graduate students to help them advance their work and opportunities for them to engage with faculty from their own and other humanities disciplines. We will partner with the Office of Student Scholarship, Creative Activities and Research, OSCR, to augment opportunities for undergraduate research in the humanities and enable Mason's undergraduate students to play a role in the life of the center. Finally, the center is committed to the interdisciplinary dimensions of humanities research and to a vision of the humanities as socially engaged scholarship. Through their particular areas of expertise and methods of inquiry, humanities scholars can make essential contributions to research being taken across the university in a wide variety of disciplines. Through its programs and events, the center aims to increase the opportunities for research partnerships and collaborations, both within CHESS and across Mason's colleges and campuses, as well as with its interdisciplinary institutes and centers. Humanities faculty have collaborated with the Carter Center for Peace and Conflict Resolution and helped to shape the vision for the Institute for Digital Innovation. They are founding members of the Center for Advancing Human-Machine Partnerships and the Institute for a Sustainable Earth. They also play leading roles in key initiatives such as the development of Mason's Responsible Conduct of Research Training Program, and most recently, President Washington's Anti-Racism and Inclusive Excellence Task Force. The center will further these collaborative efforts by making humanities research more visible and more accessible to our colleagues across the Mason community, and reinforcing the value and the relevance of humanities research to the university's strategic initiatives and the wider communities of which Mason is a part.
Additionally, the location of Mason and the Center provides ample opportunity for the exhibition of the research conducted at the Center, as well as strategic partnerships to many local organizations.
We have also promised that we will seek outside funding as well. It'll be very important for the long-term success of the Center to be able to apply for external funding. And we think that we're most likely to be able to attract outside funding in the area of public humanities. So what we're thinking is that a lot of the funding that we're receiving from the university will be to fund research study leads for faculty members and graduate students, to support programming, to support the symposium. But we'll also be very interested in establishing community partners and to be sort of think about how we can engage the public, both in the work of the humanities and also, on the one hand, to sort of translate the work that academics are doing that actually would have great resonance for the public. But on the other hand, to think about what kind of projects we might engage with the public in a kind of shared authority where we might think about, like, you know, around perhaps immigration or refugees or, racial covenants in the area. I mean, the kinds of sort of projects that have sort of contemporary resonance and also local resonance. And so we're interested in thinking about those kinds of projects, and those kinds of projects that are, you know, within the umbrella of public humanities might enable us to attract some external funding as well. Because while the university has committed to funding us for 5 years, and of course that's renewable, we want very much to be able to also have other sources of funding coming in to be able to do the kind of work that we want to do.
The Center for Humanities Research will provide an important link to humanities institutions and organizations in the DC region. The center will build on established relationships already mentioned with the NEH, Virginia Humanities, the Smithsonian Institution, and the Library of Congress, and will work with local humanities organizations, mainly through libraries and local museums in the counties surrounding Mason. And the center will work to build bridges between the campus and the wider community, first by supporting the work of faculty who are already engaged in public humanities, and second, by partnering with established humanities projects. Our goal is to expand the scope and number of community partnerships and to promote public-facing activities and projects.
Due to the wide range of possibilities for research at the center, the committee decided on an annual theme to help focus the work coming out of the center as well as the events planned around the theme. Here, Director Allison Landsberg describes this initiative more in detail.
We plan to host symposia related to the annual theme. These symposia will feature a keynote address and will draw scholars from both Mason and beyond. Toward our goal of engaging the public in the intellectual and cultural life of the humanities, The symposia will also feature outward-facing programming, such as a public talk or a thematically related performance or reading. In conjunction with the symposia, the center will run a symposium seminar for advanced undergraduates. Students will apply to participate in a brief seminar leading up to the symposium, focused on its theme and on the research of the keynote speaker. In preparation for the symposium, the seminar will convene to discuss the scholar's work and related texts, and at the symposium, the seminar will have its own private session with the speaker. The students will each earn a Humanities Center certificate afterward that they can put on their resume or CV. The center will also support humanities research that goes beyond the annual theme. While the theme will offer an organizing mechanism for ongoing center discussions, there will also be space for other non-theme related research activity, talks, and so forth.
The grants for the faculty take the form of course release from two classes. So basically, it buys out faculty members of their teaching for that semester so that they would be able to commit themselves fully to the research, to the life, the intellectual life of the center. The fellowships for graduate students will pay their tuition and healthcare and all of the expenses typically covered. Will be covered for the graduate student for that semester. And this is all sort of, this is written into our budget. So that's all been fully established. There will also be smaller research grants that faculty members can apply for. And this is open to term faculty members as well. Term faculty members are eligible to apply for this kind of funding over the summer because if they're 9 months faculty, then they're not on contract during the summer.
Meanwhile, Professor Olson provides more information on the center's first annual theme.
Our first center theme will be on dissent, and this theme takes direct inspiration from the late Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg and from the Black Lives Matter movement. While U.S. constitutional history memorializes Justices John Marshall Harlan, Oliver Wendell Holmes, and William O. Douglas as the great dissenters, the phrase "I dissent" resonates today with the minority reports authored by the late Justice Ginsburg, that is, those that were stripped of its customary adverb of collegiality, the word respectfully. One might think, for example, of her strongly worded dissent in the case of Burwell versus Hobby Lobby from 2014, where the court ruled in favor of exemptions for closely held for-profit companies that claim religious beliefs. Her statement of dissent is unapologetically charged with the anger of one who had witnessed the gradual establishment of women's rights over the course of the 20th century, only to be presented with cases that sought to limit them. Even as we celebrate Ginsburg's notorious dissents, the Black Lives Matter movement reminds us daily and with urgency how crucial dissent is to our democracy and to the ongoing struggle for racial justice. The Center for Humanities Research invites applications from faculty and advanced doctoral candidates whose research broadly interrogates or intersects with the notion of dissent. Articulations of dissent not only signal a deviation from the common opinion, they create the space for personal, social, and political change. While our theme takes inspiration from the legal sphere, we ask, which other discursive spaces have been opened by dissent over time? In which historical, philosophical, religious, and literary texts, contexts, cultural sites, and/or practices can we locate dissent? Whose words, acts, and gestures are given credence as dissent? And how do the imprecations of race, gender, sexuality, age, class and ability render dissent legible or allow it to be dismissed? If statements of dissent are classified in the legal sphere as minority reports, then how does dissent gain traction and influence or even become the voice of the majority? How can we trace the relationship between individual dissent and the larger context from which it originates, or the uprisings that result? What does public, collective, or shared dissent look like? Finally, how do, quote, dissents speak to a future age, unquote, as the late Justice Ginsburg once said?
We want very much for there to be an ongoing discussion at the center over the course of a semester or even a year. And we're responding, you know, the idea of the theme is a way to bring together scholars who are doing their own unique independent research projects, but to put them in an environment where there might be some areas of theoretical overlap, content overlap, thematic overlap. And we hope that if that happens, there will be the possibility for intellectual synergies that will energize people's own independent research projects by having them in dialogue with one another. Generally, humanities research is kind of solitary. You know, we do it at home. And this is one of the problems that we see ourselves responding to at Mason, that I think a lot of faculty members think of themselves as coming to campus to teach and going home to do their research. And we want to change that. We want people to feel like George Mason is a place where they can come to talk about their research, to do their research, to engage intellectually with, you know, all of their wonderful colleagues who are, you know, engaged in really fascinating research projects about which they know nothing. So we really learn about each other and each other's research in this way. So the goal then in thinking about a theme for the semester is to think of a theme that would enable people, that would enable the most number of people who are working around an area to be able to apply, because we don't want people, the idea is not that people will change their research, right? This is not a top-down call for research where everybody has to drop what they're doing and apply to be part of the center. Our idea is that, you know, we will pick a theme that has wide resonance so that people will be able to apply for the fellowship to pursue their own already existing research projects. And so dissent seemed like a really excellent theme for that reason. You know, obviously it's very timely. Obviously, you know, we were thinking about this, you know, in the immediate aftermath of Ruth Bader Ginsburg's death, and also in the wake of the ongoing Black Lives Matter protest movements. And it led us to think about the significance, you know, the significance of dissent, both for democracy and both and for activism sort of more broadly. And I think that humanities are uniquely positioned to think about the sort of value of dissent, the role that dissent has played historically, the way that dissent has been punished, you know, the way that dissent has been disallowed in different moments, but also the doors that have been opened by dissent. And so I think that it's, as a theme, it does a lot of the work that we've wanted it to do, because it can be approached very interdisciplinarily. It has, I think, the capacity, I mean, like somebody who's working on, you know, the Spanish Inquisition, you know, could be sort of thinking about dissent, as could somebody who is working on sort of environmental protest.
We were able to ask the current director what she thought of the future for the center in 2021 and beyond, and she had the following to say.
This pandemic, you know, is devastating for every reason imaginable. I guess we could say that, you know, one of these small silver linings is that Zoom events are able to bring together people who, you know, for other reasons couldn't be together in real life. And we have found that Zoom events have had really large attendance. We were really thrilled by the number of people who joined our inaugural event, and we hope to have another event this semester as well. So our, maybe, I mean, one of the sort of silver linings might be that more people than normally came to the inaugural event, are thinking about the Center for Humanities Research, and then might be more inclined to sort of come to real life events when we have them in the future. I think also there's a possibility that having been a part of all of us for so long, people might really be craving intellectual community. And, you know, Zoom works okay, but it's really inferior, obviously. And I know that I am very eager to sit around the table with my students, with my colleagues, and have real discussions instead of this thing that we're doing now all the time. So I'm hopeful that that post-pandemic, there will be a lot of enthusiasm for coming together as an intellectual community, being on campus, resuming sort of a kind of normal tempo of life. So I'm hopeful for all of those things. The other thing that I would say about the future, I mean, me and the steering committee have a vision for the center, which we have kind of laid out here. And we are putting in place the structures that we hope will be the sort of the skeleton, the bones of this center going forward. However, we understand that you know, for this to grow and evolve, there will need to be new leadership. And so my term is only 3 years. There will be we'll be hiring a new director during the course of the third year. They'll start in the fourth year of the center, so that our plan was that we could sort of establish this thing and then invite other people to bring their ideas and energy and the things that they find urgent to the table. We've also written into our structure that members of the steering committee will rotate off in a kind of, in a staggered fashion, so that new people will come on board again, so that it's not like we're like a cabal that owns this center. You know, we had this idea, we want to sort of bring it into existence, but then we want other people to get involved and to feel like they have a stake in it and take over the leadership. I mean, that's really the goal going forward.
At this current moment, the Center for Humanities Research has the following reading groups: Queer Studies Reading Group, Technology and Society Reading Group, Space and Place Reading Group, Memory and Difficult Pasts Reading Group, Environmental Justice Reading Group, Capitalism Reading Group, Postcolonial Reading Group, and the Critical Race Theory Group. There is also one working group accepting researchers, and that is the Early Americas Workshop. To learn how to get involved with these groups, please visit chr.gmu.edu/reading-groups-and-working-groups. At the time of this recording, we would also like to highlight upcoming events that will be taking place at the center around the theme of dissent. On Wednesday, March 24th from 12 to 1 p.m., Jessica Scarlotta will be giving a faculty fellow research presentation on After the Agreement, Memory and Visual Culture in Northern Ireland. On Wednesday, April 7th from 3 to 4 p.m., Nathaniel Greenberg will be giving a faculty fellow research talk on social photography as protest photography in colonial era Iraq. On Wednesday, April 14th from 12 to 1 p.m., Ashley Gaddy will be giving a graduate fellow research presentation on Reproducing Through 2020, Reproductive Liberation Strategies of Black Women, Welfare Recipients in Washington, D.C. during Floyd, Trump, and COVID-19. Also in April, there will be two events centered on the topic of reflecting on racial justice, imagining restorative reform. The first one will be on Wednesday, April 14th from 4 to 6 p.m., a conversation with Spencer Crew, interim director of the National Museum of African American History and Culture, as well as a Mason Robinson professor, and President Derek Johnson, director of the NAACP. We will celebrate Professor Crew's contributions both as a historian at Mason and as a curator and director at the Smithsonian. He and President Johnson will engage in a wide-ranging discussion about their lives and the work of advancing racial justice both personally and institutionally. On Friday, April 23rd, from 1 to 3:30 p.m., there will be a conversation with the Honorable Leslie Abrams and Mr. James Gardner on criminal justice reform. Also, at the time of this recording, there is available funding through the center. Right now, they have applications open for the Summer 2021 Research Grants. Applicants may apply for a grant of up to $5,000 to support humanities-related research. All tenure track and term faculty members on a 9-month contract are eligible to apply. The due date will be Friday, April 9th. Please note that in any given year, a faculty member may not receive both a CHR residential fellowship and summer funding. Tenure line faculty who apply for both can only take up one award in any given year. That application process is up on CHR's website. Some other funding that is available right now through the center are the CHR residential fellowships for faculty and graduate students. These semester-long fellowships provide 2 course releases for tenure line faculty and tuition and stipend for PhD students, and require residency at the center and participation in regular meetings with the cohort of fellows, public presentation of research, and attendance at all center events. The center will accept fellows from as wide a range of disciplines, departments, and programs as possible who are working on projects related to the theme. Applications for the fellowship will be due on April 16th. Finally, we would like to blast an open call for interest in a faculty writing group through the center. Director Allison Landsberg has said that she's been approached by faculty members interested in a humanities-focused writing group for faculty. Ideally, the group would meet twice per month and would provide an opportunity to share work in progress and to engage in intellectual discussion around each member's projects. Please email chr@gmu.edu if you are a faculty member interested in this project. If you'd also like to be added to the Center for Humanities Research listserv, please send a message to the same email, chr@gmu.edu. If you're unable to make these events but still want to see the center's work so far on their first theme of dissent, you can go ahead and view a couple of panels on their website. Up for view is the Humanities Centers as Sites of Dissent, a panel discussion, and Chronic Crisis, Humanities Contextualized 2020. The center has also just recently announced their very next theme, which will be Pasts, Presents, Futures. You can view the panels on the first theme of dissent, as well as find elaboration on the new theme and application instructions for funding on their website, which is chr.gmu.edu. Thank you so much for listening to Second Nature. If you enjoyed this episode, please like, rate, subscribe, all of the fun stuff for us on all major platforms. We'll talk to you soon. Special thanks to the Center for Humanities Research, as well as the Planning Committee, for providing the information used in this episode. This episode was edited, written, and narrated by May Santiago. Special thanks to Chelsea Triggs, Severin Mueller, and Alex Monea for their additional help. Music is by Daniel Birch.